All right. Yeah, right? This mic is actually a good segue. I was always tall for my age. So for this story to work, I need you all to imagine me at age 12. I was still probably taller than the majority of the people in here, but I had no muscle definition. If I turned sideways, you would not be able to see me. My doctor used to show me a graph of an average person, height and weight, and he'd say, here's your height, and here's your weight. So that's what's going on with you. So for this story to work, if I could give you a visual, I looked like Woody from Toy Story combined with like a puppeteer, like all arms and legs going everywhere, just all over the place. It was a mess. And we had a kid in our neighborhood. His name was Richard Sastry. And he was the big kid on the block. He owned the neighborhood. He was all muscles. He was tall. He was big. He was strong. He had flaming red hair. He had I swear he was 12. He had a full grown beard. Like, not like mustache, like full grown ZZ Top all the way down, gigantic beard. He was the man, and he owned the neighborhood. He was the king. He was never a bully. He was never anything like that. But if someone was talking crap, if somebody was acting up, he was the one that would lay down the law. He was always the one who would insist that we played tackle football, insist that we played all the most physical games. And if you got out of line, he was going to let you know. But what would happen was around 12, 13, you know, I started filling out a little. I kept growing. And everybody in the neighborhood started taking notice. And unfortunately for me, that meant that, ooh, look, it's Rich and Derek, the two big guys. Something's going to happen, which I wanted no part of because he had been beating me up for 12 years. And I didn't want to be a part of that. He was 2 years older than me. I was still scared to death of him. But I kept growing, and I kept growing, and I kept growing. And all my friends kept saying, oh, you know, you could take him. You could take him. You can take him. Let's do this. Like, it's going to happen. And so one day, we all got together in the neighborhood, and we decided to play a game of football, which we always said was two-hand touch, but quickly devolved into just tackling each other as fast as possible. And I used to play receiver because I couldn't, again, I was all arms and legs, and I would just run down in a straight line as far as I could. I would hope somebody would throw it deep to me, and I could just jump up and catch it. And Rich Sastry played free safety for the same reason of, let's not move around, let's just run straight at each other as fast as possible. So what happened on this particular day, I deep ball thrown right to me, going after it, put my arms out, and he levels me straight up. It was like a cartoon, like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon. Like, the ground came up like a rug around like my face. It was terrible. I saw stars for 5 minutes, and I felt something in me. It started to change. I was like, you know what? I'm bigger than this now. I don't need to take this. I had my Irish anger sort of come up a little bit, like start to show itself. And I got a little bit, you know, maybe this isn't how it has to go. So the next game we decide to play is called pickleball, or it's also known as running bases, which is basically there are two bases apart from each other, and you stand in the middle, and you're safe if you're on those bases, and if you're not on those bases, you're getting a tennis ball thrown at you at top speed, no matter what. And Rich Sastry had the best fastball in the business. I don't know how he didn't turn professional. And I don't know how he did it. It still defies physics to this day, but his fastballs would rise. And so instead of hitting you in the stomach where, you know, you can live with it, it was always neck and face just every time. Like, if I was any older, the bruises I would come home with on my neck, my parents would be really concerned about it, but I was still young enough that it was okay. So again, you know, we're playing again, and again, I noticed Rich, he must have heard what these kids were saying, because he keeps coming after me, and he comes after me, and he's throwing these tennis balls as hard as he can, and I'm dodging, and I'm weaving, and I'm thinking, oh, this is it, I'm getting on him, and then he throws from 5 feet away, 90 mile an hour, right to my head, on the opposite side. So again, seeing stars, and again, this feeling inside of me, I'm getting tall, I don't need to deal with this anymore. This is it. Like, I had this new influx of testosterone that was just dying to get out somehow. And so finally, for the last game of the day, because 12-year-old boys, they really do enjoy signing up for their own beatdowns. was Kill the Carrier. If you don't know Kill the Carrier, if you're holding a football, you're getting killed. It's a pretty easy self-explanatory game. They will punch you, they will bite you, they will kick you, they will do whatever it takes to get that football out of you. And so the game starts, and I go after Rich. I feel this anger inside me. I feel this anger. And so the first time I go up and tackle Rich, the way it worked in our neighborhood was you could go after Rich Sastry as long as you had a horde of other kids tackling with you. Because if you tackled them by yourself, you were not going to tackle them by yourself. You just were not going to do it. So the first time, I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling a little angry. I can do this. I'm going to try and tackle him by himself. And I get really close to him, and I freeze. And in that second, he stiff-arms me right in the neck again. It must have had a thing for my face. I don't know what it was, but my face was so bruised that day. It was ridiculous. But that was the final straw. That was the three strikes, you're out. This is it. I'm going to be a man today, or I'm going to freaking die trying. I don't know what is going to happen. So we keep playing. And eventually, he gets the ball again away from everybody else, and it was just me and him. And he was running away from me. Didn't want to take me this time. He was running away. And I feel my newly grown legs. I'm chasing after him. I'm feeling good. This is it. This is the moment. I got this. And I get about 5 yards away from him, and I see him turn his head and look at me. And I see something in his eye. And in that half second, I think, and it's, oh, my God, he's scared of me. I see that in his eye. That is fear in his eyes. And in that second, I had such a party going in my head. I felt like a gladiator. David is going to beat down Goliath tonight. It is going to be so great. I'm going to get carried off the field. Girls that aren't even there are going to start kissing me on the cheek. It's going to be, this is awesome. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be so great. I can't wait. Turns out that twinkle in his eye was that he was preparing for this moment for a little while. Because what he did was he turned and he said, here, catch. And he threw me the ball. And I managed to get out before he pivoted and hit me with all his strength and all his force directly in my stomach. So I don't really remember what happened next. But I've heard varying accounts from all my friends about what happened. I remember sitting on the ground for 15 minutes, and for that 15 minutes, I heard a sound coming out of my mouth that I should never be coming out of any human's mouth ever. It's the sound of 12 years of air just escaping your lungs by any means necessary. My best friend, he told me that was the day he decided he was too old for Kill the Carrier. But my favorite story was from Rich Sastry himself, who, in classic kid form, told me he wasn't concerned about my well-being at all. It wasn't any of that. What his mind was racing for was trying to figure out an excuse to tell his parents and my parents how he murdered me. Thank you.